Hi, I'm Vernon Trollinger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Laura Chunko, OD, owner of Ideal Wellness in Lorain, Ohio.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in North Olmsted, Ohio, born and raised, Cleveland area, on the west side. My parents are still married and still live in North Olmsted, not in the original house that I grew up in. And my dad worked at Ford Motor Company for 36 years. And my mom is a piano teacher.
What did your dad do at Ford?
He was in human resources, and he did a couple of different jobs there, insurance, benefits related, and mostly like HR stuff.
Your mom taught piano?
So she has a degree in music education. She did take a little time off when the three of us were younger, and she did start teaching in the home, but it was kind of hard with little kids. So she actually goes to people's homes now, and she still does have many students, and it's more convenient nowadays for parents to have their piano teacher come to the house, and they don't have to take their kids to one more activity.
You said your practice is based out of a Walmart Supercenter since 2007. How do you succeed in a corporate practice environment, and how open are your patients to nutrition information?
Well, I find that my patients are very open, most of them. You know, not everyone in the world is receptive to what you have to say, but, you know, as optometrists, we're constantly seeing more and more diabetic patients, unfortunately. So I find that if we're not talking about nutrition or food at all, it's kind of like we're leaving out part of the equation because we can't, you know, eyes don't exist in a separate space. They're connected to the body. So we really need to talk about the whole body and, you know, how their eating is. A lot of people, you know, we do ask about, you know, their blood sugar level and their A1C, but, you know, I find it important just, you know, to find out how their diet is. And in general, people say, oh yeah, my diet's really good, but sometimes you just have to get specific with people and ask, okay, so what'd you have for lunch today? Or what'd you have for breakfast? And then you really get a better feel for, you know, kind of what they're eating. Or they'll say, well, you know, and then you get the well, and then they'll tell you the real story.
What would be an example of a real story that?
Well, I had a patient and, you know, she was diabetic and we were talking about her food and drink, and she told me she had 8 Pepsis a day, 8 regular Pepsis a day. And I said, you do realize that if you didn't drink 8 Pepsis a day, you might not be diabetic. And she said, yes, but that's like my joy. That's like, don't take that away from me. So then I think we have to move the discussion to, okay, you know, where else can you find joy in your life? You know, that was kind of eye-opening, but kind of sad to hear a story like that.
Now, I believe when your daughter was just 26 days, she had cataract surgery.
She did.
Did your daughter's cataract surgery impact you as an optometrist?
Well, it did. I was already an optometrist. People always wonder, well, did that make you want to go into optometry? No, it was kind of ironic when her pediatrician, you know, at the hospital on day one, just getting used to being a new mom and the reality of everything, came in and said, I think your daughter may have a cataract. And I kind of, for a minute, had to, like, see if I was really awake or if I was having an auditory hallucination, you know, like, wait, I can't believe this. But, you know, once you get over the shock of it and, you know, it's good and bad because she was definitely born to the right mom. I consider that like for her winning the lottery, so to speak, because it's about 1 in 10,000 births. And then if you would figure out of that small number, how many would be born to a mom of have an optometrist mother, I think it's a very small percentage, like winning the lottery. So it was very good in that regard. And so I learned a lot about patching, and, you know, she developed an esotropia. She's had 3 eye muscle surgeries, and it's been an interesting journey. But she does great. She's about to turn 16, and so she's driving. So So she does well.
What's something your colleagues don't know about you?
Well, I am an information junkie, I would say. I don't know if that's shocking, but I like to read and learn a ton. And so, you know, when I'm bored, well, or in the morning when I'm getting ready, a lot of times I'll listen to podcasts or something informational. So I feel like I always just want to be learning.
Well, let me ask you this. What is one of the most esoteric things that you're interested in?
I find it interesting how just humans, I mean, we're so complicated, and how, you know, we evolved under light and with the sun, and I think we're, you know, solar powered, but of course I do believe in, you know, it's a complicated universe. I believe not totally in evolution, but we obviously evolved under the sun, and I think light plays a big story in our evolution, and a lot of people are leaving that part out of the equation, and we need to get back more to nature and back to basics. You know, like getting outside and, you know, in the light and in the sun and, you know, just eating back with nature.
Well, that kind of brings us to the next question. How did you get interested in ocular nutrition?
It's been an interesting journey, and I try to think of, you know, how did this all get started? And I think it was back when I read an interesting book. It had to be well over a decade ago, Kevin Trudeau's book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was called Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. So that was kind of like just my little taste of like, huh, he said some interesting things in that book. And at the time I wasn't sure, you know, if this guy was crazy or if these things were true. So then that led me down a path of just doing more research and reading more and more books. And, you know, fortunately with the internet, you know, there's a multitude of information. I mean, I think I have to turn information off sometimes because it gets, you know, too much and too overwhelming, and you do need breaks. But I then got a booklet from the Academy of Optometry meeting, and in that was advertising a nutrition portion from the Ocular Nutrition Society. And I went to that meeting and heard a couple nutrition talks, and even at the regular Academy meeting that year, and I'm thinking that was probably like 2009-ish, you know, information about vitamin D, and, you know, I just started learning, and it was fascinating. And a lot of it we didn't learn anything about in school. So it was like a whole new world kind of opened up. And, you know, I never really questioned, you know, you just bought food from the store and you know, I didn't know what pesticides might be on my vegetables, or I never really thought about that before. And of course, I was always looking at the labels, but just getting into like, not just the macronutrients, how many sugars or fat grams are in something, but like what's actually in this? And if you can't pronounce things, you know, maybe you shouldn't be eating that. So that was just a whole evolution, kind of a long process, I would say. And the more I became interested and saw that research about the eye and nutrition and, you know, in particular, ocular diseases that we're all concerned about, from, you know, macular degeneration, you know, cataracts and diabetes, and things that we really want to help our patients with, but we don't always have the best answers, you know, at this time.
Why become a certified holistic health coach?
At the time, it was just something that my inner being told me I needed to do. So I kind of just trusted my gut on that one. And I didn't know exactly where it was leading, but sometimes you just have to, I think you just have to follow your passion. Even if it doesn't make sense necessarily at the time, or you can't see the whole picture, you're just gathering a piece of the puzzle at that time. So that's what it was for me. I did learn a lot, and it wasn't so much, academics and research, but more listening to people and hearing their story. And in health coaching, we talk about primary food and about food that you eat being secondary food. So primary food is your relationships and your purpose and your, all of those underlying factors that as human beings, sometimes as optometrists, we are just solely focused on eyes and vision, but people share things with us. We're one-on-one in a dark room, and I'm sure that my colleagues can tell you lots of interesting stories about what patients share with them. But there's, I say to people sometimes that we should be able to bill also for a psychologist visit at the same time concurrently, because, sometimes people need to share and we have that connection. And so I think that rapport with patients is super important. And a lot of times we're just focused on the mechanics and the underlying humanity of what we do every day sometimes can go by the wayside if we're not careful.
So how did your fellowship with the Ocular Nutrition Society happen?
Oh, that was, as soon as I heard about a fellowship in nutrition, I was all over that one because I already attend nutrition conferences. And so that was right up my alley. So I applied. I believe it was 150 hours of nutrition education, accredited nutrition education. And then you either would write a case report, or in my case, I wrote a paper.
You say treat locally, but think globally. How did you develop your practice philosophy?
Well, if you think about what we do every day, the eye is truly the window to the body. And all of my colleagues can attest that we see, thyroid disease showing up in the eye, whether it be diabetes or heart disease showing up in the eye. Pretty much every disease seems to have an ocular manifestation, autoimmune disease, whatever it may be. So it's only natural that we would want to think about things outside the eye that are going to affect the eye. So we might be seeing a symptom in the eye, and we're going to treat that symptom, of course, but I think we need to think about the underlying root cause and what's causing the symptom and what their other conditions may be. And yeah, we're not going to treat outside our scope of practice, but to be aware and also to maybe offer things that can be supportive in specific conditions. We're not treating that condition, but nutrition as support, and good nutrition can help any condition. It's definitely not going to hurt.
We already talked about your practice being located in a Walmart superstore for 14 years. What's something about optometry you'd like to change?
reimbursement rates? okay. And it's just kind of annoying, too, just to feel like if you're submitting to different companies, they're almost like on your back seeing what you're doing. I don't know. If we had, better reimbursements, normally I pay more to get my hair cut than many of these companies pay me to do an eye exam. She can't get sued, and if it's a bad haircut, it'll grow back, I guess. But, if I could change one thing about optometry, I think what it would be is expand our scope of practice. Just so we can treat anything that's eye related, it seems, but if we could maybe do some non-invasive, more holistic, kind of more like coaching or certified nutrition specialist, which is what I think that intention is with that program, because I feel like we have to limit ourselves right now to, you know, what could truly help patients, and they may not be getting that information or help from any other practitioner, and we could kind of fill some of those gaps.
What's your guilty pleasure food?
Guilty pleasure food, chocolate. Of course. And if it's dark organic chocolate, even better.
Okay.
I feel less guilty. I'm not perfect, and I'm human and normal like everyone else. Everyone thinks like, ooh, you're a health coach. You're, you know, it's helpful for me, I think, to be a little OCD because if I get off track, then I just keep getting further off track. And so, you know, I got to try and walk my talk, right? Be the change you want to see in the world. I mean, I think you have to start with yourself always. If I expect people to do something, it can't be something that I'm not myself willing to do.
Do you have any regrets?
I don't have any regrets. I'm not going to say I don't have things. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done this or that, but it's life, it's learning. And, you know, I think of one of my favorite movies of all time is It's a Wonderful Life. And if you know that movie, you know, if you didn't do this, that, or the other, then you wouldn't be in the same place. So, you can't have any regrets.
And now for the last question, which we inflict on everyone. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
I have two, and I couldn't decide, so I'm gonna let the audience decide, or you can decide. One, I did do a 7-day green juice fast. You know, we're used to eating at least 3 times a day, and it was just green juice. You know, nothing like carrot based or beet based, because it was, you know, low glycemic, and it was an experience. So, but I think, you know, some fasting is good, especially seasonally, or even if it's a day a week, or just restricting feeding to certain times a day. There's a lot of research coming out about fasting and intermittent fasting, and it's been in cultures for years, fasting. Just our modern society's kind of, you know, thrown it away, but now it's kind of coming back. It's like, hey, maybe it's good to let the body recover and rest and repair itself. Another crazy thing that I did was I was at a Tony Robbins event called Unleash the Power Within, and I walked across hot coals to the fire walk. So that was pretty intense.
You know, when you were getting ready to step across, were you frightened? I mean, were you like, oh my gosh, it's going to burn the skin off?
No, you cannot go into it with that mentality. You have to, like, see yourself at the other side having successfully done it. You have to, like, use that imagery so you can just do it. And yeah, it's amazing.
How long was the bed?
It was probably like 8 feet. It was a few steps.
Yeah, you had to walk on a few coals.
Yeah, it wasn't like two.
Was that the finale of that whole thing? Or?
No, that was actually the first night.
Really?
Yeah. He's pretty crazy guy. So he's, you know, we got geared up for that for several hours pretty much. But it was a very cool experience. His energy, like, takes up the whole room, and the energy in the room is phenomenal. Not just his energy, but the energy of everyone combined. So that was a really neat experience.
Well, Laura, thanks for talking with me today. I mean, I'm glad we finally got this one in the can. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice to actually put a face with the emails and everything. Great to talk with you, Vernon.